Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vinny. I was hoping to have a guest on, but she's in the hurricane zone. Hurricane Isaias, Isaias, whatever. Kind of weird. All of a sudden, we seen it coming, and all of a sudden, it decided to skip a certain area and then come up and hit the, I guess, around the North and South Carolina border. And that's where she lives along. The same town as Jeff Sandor. Wilmington, NC, so they kind of got slammed. Calabasas, North Carolina, hope everybody's safe. Apparently, it's kind of ugly down there. Some wind down, power outages, you know, coastal flooding. Yeah, that's why I don't live near the shore. I know a lot of people like to go down there, and I like to go down there, but I just don't want to live there. I know when I was stationed down and down that way, we kind of missed hurricanes for the 2.5 years I was there. So, every so often we get this urge, and who knows, the weather's been kind of wonky. Last July was drought conditions. This is August right now, but and this year, July has been pretty wet, and August has been pretty wet. I'd rather have wet than rain. So, I mean, wet than wintertime white. But, you know, you get that kind of stuff. It's been, and it was a late week in racing, too. I think we had a little ARCA activity and one cup race. That's it. One cup race. No Xfinity, no trucks, one cup race. No IndyCar. So, that's kind of it this week. Big news. Big news in NHRA. Let me go back to the Garage Talk Live page, because we posted the article there, so I'm going to pull it up. And I was wondering, why I haven't seen John Force Racing in any of the returned events. Well, they posted on their Facebook page that after 4 months of postponement and ever-changing scenarios, NHRA went forward with a revised mellow yellow drag racing schedule, of course. That restarted with two consecutive races at Indy Raceway, you know, Lucas Oil Raceway in Indianapolis. John Force, who's 16-time funny car champion, sidelined his four-car team for the restart of the Mellow Yellow drag racing season. The driver of the Peak Auto Blue Death Team Chevy Camaro SS announced that John Force Racing will remain parked for the 2020 season in order to come back at championship caliber. So, they decided to shelf it for this season, which, you know, it's kind of hard to do when you think about it, when you've been doing it for, 16-time championship. He's been doing it forever. I mean, so they figured, they had to shelf the team. They had to, you know, lay off staff and all that. So I guess they figured, and, you know, you have to honor your sponsor's wishes. So I guess they decided that they couldn't deliver on certain things, and they didn't want to deprive anybody of what they're doing. So John Force Racing is not going to compete for a championship in any of the two categories they run in, pro stock, I mean, funny car or top fuel. That's four, let's see, you got two there and two there. That's four drivers. So, it's kind of weird. You had Austin Proc, Brittany Force, John Force, and Robert Height, you know. They've been doing it for a while, and they're good at it. You figure three of those team members are champions, Brittany, John, and Robert. John and Robert, of course, multiple time champs. Brittany's looking for number two. So, Austin Proc is in his rookie. He's not in his rookie year. He's in his second year, which is he's still getting used to things. So, so it's kind of sad that they have to shelf it. So anyway, that's where we stand, and we'll go on from there. Let's see where the NHRA schedule is up next. I think they come back this weekend at Indianapolis. They did have one rain out the last time they were there. They were there for two straight weeks. They're coming back this week. So they are looking for the return to action this weekend as well. So let's take a look at the standings while we're at it. And top fuel, it's Kalita over Leah Pruitt. Billy Torrance and Steve Torrance are third and fourth. Father and son, Billy in third, Steve in fourth. It's only, I'm looking at 5 points difference. Of course, Steve, the defending champ, him and Billy did not run the first race of the season. I think they didn't run the second one either, but then the virus hit. And then Justin Ashley in fifth, Antron Brown. I don't know who Justin Ashley is. He's a fresh name in there, but he's up in fifth place. Antron Brown, Clay Milliken, Sean Langdon. In eighth, he was running funny cars last year, so he's back up in the top fuel round. Terry McMillan, ninth, and Brittany Force, 10th, but don't count her to stay there, being she is not running the rest of the season. So TJ Zizzo and Austin, I figure Austin Proc was 12th. TJ Zizzo should move into the 10th spot. Like I said, Brittany Force, Austin Proc will not be running the rest of the season. In the funny car division, Jack Beckman leads Tommy Johnson Jr. Of course, he's going to stay in there. He wants that the championship Wally. He's got a 17-point lead over Matt Hagen. I mean, Beckman, I mean, over Tommy Johnson Jr. Matt Hagen is in third. He's a few back. quite a few bags. Well, at least 34. Well, he's 34 points back, or 27 points. I know. My math isn't with it this early in the morning. Tim Wilkerson in fourth. Bob Task in fifth. Ronnie Capps in sixth. J.R. Todd in seventh. Alexis DeJoy in eighth. Ninth. And John Force, like I said, he will be surrendering that spot to, I guess, Cruz Pedregon and then Paul Lee are the next two in line. So that's where it'll change. Robert Hoyt was in 13th, so it isn't going to matter. Pro stock. Jake Coughlin leads Jason Lyne by 8 points. 15 out of first is Erica Enders, the defending champ. She's going for number 4, which would put her in the elite category of breaking history. That would give her the most championships by a female driver in the series, or in the division, let alone pro stock. I mean, in the Mellow Yellow series, I should say. She's tied with 3 each with Angel, Sam Hay, and Shelley Muldowney. So come on, Erica. I know you can do it. I couldn't get you on last year. Maybe it worked. Maybe the luck had worn off and you won the championship without calling in. But she used to come on every year up until last year, the first year she hasn't gone on since her first win. And I kind of feel disappointed. But she's third. And the next one in fourth is Kenny Delco, but he's 132 points out of first, so that puts him over 100. So him catching Erica right now is not going to be easy. Bo Butler in fifth. Chris McGahey, sixth. Alex Lachlan, seventh. Greg Anderson, eighth. Matt Hartford, ninth. And Aaron Stanfield is in 10th. Derek Kramer is in the 11th spot. So, and then the bikes. Ryan Oler leads Matt Smith, who is the defending champ. Somebody had to unseat either Andrew Hines or Eddie Krawick, but they're not that far behind. Smith 14 out in second. Hines 37 out in third. Hector Arana 42 out in fourth. And Eddie Krawick in fifth, 52 out. And then it's still tight all the way through 10th place. It's less than 100 points. Scotty Polacek in 6th. Angie Smith. Angel Sampay in 7th and 8th. And there's a couple points between those two ladies. There's 3 points between 6th and 8th. Now they could battle it out. One event could take care of that. Same with Eddie Krawick in 5th. He's only 11 points ahead of Sampay in 8th. And then 9th and 10th will be Steve Johnson and John Hall. Jerry Savoie, who's usually up in the top 10, is, well, you have a 3-way tie for 10th with Mark Ingvarsson. And then in a 4-way tie for 12th or 13th with Ronald Tourneau, David Barron, Kelly Klontz, and Chris Bostic. They're 84 out. So between 1st and 16th is only 84 points. That has to be the tightest point standing in the Mellow Yellow series. That being said, anybody's game when you've got that many points, that separating it, there could be some serious jumps. You figure ...20 points per win. You get five, I guess 5 points per round win, so 20 in the final. Plus, if you get qualifying points, and somebody has a good day, somebody has a bad day, there's gonna be a big jump in that field. So we'll see what happens next week. This week on the 6th, which would be Thursday, they start getting things in there and setting up and start making passes. So this is the Indy Nationals. Last time on July 18th and 19th was the Summer Nationals. The week before that was the E3 Spark Plugs and Arts NHRA Nationals. And that was the first three of the season. And after that, then they go to Southern Nationals at the end of August. So they go to a different track. That would be Atlanta. Then they go back to Indianapolis in September. They go to Maple Grove as well in Pennsylvania. Ooh, four wides in September at ZMAX. Yeah. Gainesville. And then... got to get ready for the and then the, I guess, October with the Midwest Nationals in Madison. That would kick off the countdown. Then they have Thunder Valley in Bristol. Fall Nationals in Texas. Press Lane Spring Nationals presented by, they had to change that one. It's not quite spring in the end of October in Houston. And then the Pennzoil Nationals, or the Dodge NHRA Nationals presented by Pennzoil at Vegas, and then wrapping it up in Pomona, where they usually wrap it up. For the Auto Club Finals. So it's hard to believe the weird schedules, but thank you, virus. You screwed everything up as far as motorsports is concerned. So that we were going to have Jen Ngouli. She's a casting director, panelist on the They Still Live podcast, and an actress out of Wilmington, North Carolina. So we'll get her on next week. Hopefully, she made it sound like there wasn't too much damage, but she did have some serious cleanup to do, so we'll worry about that. Alrighty. Arca was out in Toledo. For 200 laps on the half-mile track, and it was Sam Mayer taking the win. Chandler Smith second, Brett Holmes third, Michael Self fourth, Derek Griffith fifth, Haley Deegan sixth. Bounced back from the not so good run she had last time. Austin Green seventh, Thad Moffitt eighth, Drew Dollar ninth, and Ty Gibbs rounds out the top ten. And he's the one who won last time, so. Different tracks, different finishes. Only 16 vehicles. Taylor Gray, but no Tanner Gray. So, and he was 9/11. Race shortens due to rain to 127 laps. It's supposed to be, I guess, 200 laps, but, you know, rain kind of dictates things in a small track like that. You had, I wish they'd do this a little different. I guess 5 lead changes amongst 3 drivers. Your big lap leaders were Ty Gibbs, and Sam Mayer. I mean, Sam Mayer led the important part. They did have a break, break number one. I guess that's what they call their stage. Average speed. Mph. Pole speed. They actually qualified for the pole. 112 mph. 4 cautions for 38 laps. No attendance. Of course, 5 lead changes, like I said, amongst 3 drivers. Let's check the standings in ARCA. Michael Self leads the standings. Brett Holmes is second. Drew Dollar is third. Haley Deegan up to fourth with that 6th place finish. Like I said, the highest finish by a woman is 6. Set by Shauna Robinson. Came close by Sarah Cornett-Chain. But Haley is now 4th, so she's got to either hang on or climb that ladder. And she could make history. Well, she could make history as the highest finishing woman, but I'm sure she wants to take that crown. She's looking on up. But she's the one to watch. Haley D. Tried to get her on the show, but it didn't work out that way. People only do big time. Sam Patrick, near the first he's at. They don't have the GTO luck. Anyway, down to the main event of the weekend. The only other event of the weekend, the cup race out of New Hampshire. I know some friends that were able to get to go to a race this year. The NASCAR twins, Ashley and Brittany got to see her boyfriend who works on one of the teams. So he was able to get the draw. Anyway, when all was said and done, out of the 300 run, it seemed to be a dominating day for none other than Brad Keselowski, leading 8 times for 184 laps, almost 2/3 of the race. So, and the other big lap leader was the 2nd place finisher, Denny Hamlin, who led 10 times for 92 laps. Both stages were won by Hamlin, won stage 1, and Keselowski won stage 2. So, they pretty much owned that event. Martin Truex was 3rd. Joey Logano came in 4th, so your top 4 were Penske Fords and Gibbs Toyotas. And he has Kevin Harvick in a Stuart Haas Ford in 5th. Matt DiBenedetto in the Wood Brothers Ford, powered by Penske. Then Stuart Haas Ford, Alec Amarola, Cole Custer in eighth, another Stuart Haas Ford. Chase Elliott in ninth, and Tyler Reddick rounds out the top 10. The race was 3 hours, 10 minutes, and 32 seconds long. Average speed, 100.372. Margin of victory, it kind of narrowed up there because Brad Keselowski had a 2-plus-second lead and wound up at 1.647 seconds. Trying to save fuel, but he had such a big lead, he could afford to back down a little bit because with a 1.65-second lead, Denny Hamlin wasn't even close. There were 22 lead changes amongst seven drivers. Brad Kay and Hamlin led the most, and everybody else was single digits, starting with third place. Well, starting with Chase Elliott, then Kevin Harvick, Ryan Blaney, Austin Dillon, and Eric Amarola. 11 cautions for 52 laps. Looks like Matt Kenseth had a couple of incidents late in the race. Well, he had three incidents. One at lap 180, one at lap 197, one at lap 205, and then as soon as he took the green, had some problemas. Let's see what it looks like before we get that. Let's get tidbits of info. Brad Keselowski won the 28th annual Foxwoods Resort Casino, of course. His 33rd in 397 Cup Series races. His third victory and 15th top 10 in 2020. Cole Custer was the highest finishing rookie. And it's Team Penske's seventh Cup Series victory at New Hampshire. And the 16th Cup Series victory for Ford at New Hampshire. There were a lot of Fords in that top 10. So it seems to be the Penske day. Owner's points. Let's see who's actually leading in that. Of course, now it depends on the car. So, Stuart Haas with car number 4. Harvick leads the owner's points. Then it's Penske and Gibbs. So, the only one, and then it drops down, then back to Penske, then Hendrick in the 9, Chase Elliott. And then back to Penske. It's hard to believe that Blaney's owner points are higher than Logano's, but a lot of that depends on where the drivers finish. So let's go to the points, and that's why. Harvick leads the points with 4 wins. Brad Kay with 3 wins now is in second still. Denny Hamlin with 5 wins is in third. And there's Ryan Blaney with 1 win in fourth. Chase Elliott in fifth and Joey Logano in sixth. Then you've got Martin Truex Jr. in seventh, eighth, Eric Amarola, ninth, Kurt Busch, tenth, Kyle Busch, who had a bad day. Crashed out early. And then Alex Bowman in 11th, 12th, Clint Bowyer, Matt DiBenedetto, 13th, William Byron, 14th, Tyler Reddick, 15th, Austin Dillon on the bubble in points, but with the win, he locks in. So that would bump Tyler Reddick down. Then you got Jimmy Johnson, who is 7 points behind Austin Dillon and 10 points behind Tyler Reddick. So with the win, oh, and then Cole Custer. So that bumps William Byron down to the bubble. So poor Jimmy, he's got some ground to make up. Anybody else with a win that I missed? Nope, that's it. So Cole Custer, who's actually 19th in points, locks into the playoffs because he won a race It makes a big difference. Let's go check with our winner, Brad Keselowski.
You guys got me?
All right. We got you now. You can hear us? Well, congratulations on the win. We're now joined by our race winner, Brad Keselowski, driver of the number 2 Western Star Alliance Plus 4. Just walk us through your race today. Kick it off.
Yeah, I mean, just a great car. And a great team effort. We were getting a really good rhythm at certain points in the race and just kind of take control. And that felt really good. It's our third win of the year, but first kind of win where we're just kind of been able to take control of the race. And gosh, that feels good. It feels so good. So proud of my team, proud of Jeremy Bowens and the way things have been kind of coming together. Still, a lot of racing left in this season. Gosh, I would love to make a run of this championship. I'm dying to get second championship. And we've been knocking on the door the last few years and had some run-ins and some bumps and bruises. But we'll take a shot at it this year. I'm really thrilled about that.
All right. Well, we are going to open up the floor for questions for Brad. If you have a question, please raise your hand in the participants tab. And we are going to kick it off with Jim Utter. Go ahead with your question, Jim.
Yes, Brad.
Thank you.
After the race, you mentioned the fact that Jeremy, working with Jeremy Bowens and this team has, in some ways, you felt given you a kick in the butt as far as making you even better. I just wondered, is that something you realized after some period of time working with them? And what's the advantage for you in getting that and feeling that way?
Yeah, Jim, I've had a great team since I've been here in Cup. And, I think that, sometimes being great, whether they say good is the enemy of great, I've allowed myself to fall into that good category, and good isn't good enough. So, this has been a really good challenge for me. It's, a lot of ways removed some sacred cows in the ways I approach things. And I think that's a good thing. The low downforce on the cars this year, I think, is really clicking with me on the short tracks, which is good. And like I said, just kind of remove the sacred cows from me and my way of thinking, and I think that can be really healthy.
And you mentioned about how important it was to get a dominating type of win today. You also did it by kind of outdueling for much of the race Denny Hamlin, who obviously has been had one of the best teams so far this season. Was that sort of an added bonus?
Yeah, I try not to focus on who you beat. Just making sure that you beat everybody. I always feel like, Jim, if you worry or focus on one car, you don't focus on them all. And, I would rather finish second and lose to a car we really wanted to beat. So, we want to beat them all. And so it didn't mean good. They deserve a lot of respect. They're a long car, but try not to focus on any one team. So, just going to be thankful for the day we had today, the effort our team has put in, and they deserve a lot of credit. I feel like I drove a really strong race, able to get nice rhythms at certain times, and like I said, they take kind of the pace and make the setup up really good.
Thank you.
All right, our next question comes from Kelly Crandall. Go ahead, Kelly.
Thank you. But I have two. The first is, racing with Denny like that, you guys swapped the wheel multiple times today. Is that enjoyable from behind the wheel?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. He was pretty good on the, restarts and the real short runs. And we were really good on the longer runs. And the PJ1 kept coming and going, Kelly. One lap it would be in or not in, and next lap it would be in, and then it would wear off the racetrack, and the low downforce on the cars was awesome. Because you could run behind somebody and not just be in the club. So that was really cool. And I thought we put on a great race. I was really proud of it. And proud of it for a sport and proud of it for a team. I was saying proud of it for my team because we won, but proud of it for a sport because we got away from rules that didn't make for good races, and we went to rules I think made for good driver battles. And Jay and I had a heck of a driver battle.
And then secondly, you mentioned that the hunt for the second championship in such a unique season that all of these teams are having to adapt to, what is it going to mean for a team that wins the championship or maybe can just even get to the final four?
Yeah, that's certainly a challenge.
You getting the Zoom okay?
Yeah, I'm getting it just great. I mean, you guys can hear me all right?
We got you.
All right. Somebody was talking. I don't know what I was talking about. I'm sorry. Can you repeat the question now?
No problem. What is it just going to mean for a team to make the Final Four in such a unique season like this and for a team that might win the championship?
Well, I think races like today are a perfect example of it. You know, PJ1 on the racetrack has zero laps on it. Super treacherous. Then on top of that, no practice. No idea how your car's going to drive. And you got to fire off into that corner, and you got to find a way to make it stick, or a guy behind you is, and he's going to beat you. And I'll tell you, it's just a heck of a challenge, Kelly. I haven't never done anything like that. And you got to unload out the gate and be ready to go. And you know, we're coming off the season last year where we had high downforce on the short tracks, at least, and the cars had a lot of grip. Now it's the opposite. Cars don't have very much grip at all, Kelly. You start throwing all these things at the drivers, no practice, PJ1, low downforce, and I think you're back to seeing the drivers really stand out and be able to showcase Cup Series. And I'm just glad to be a part of it, and, of course, glad to win a race soon.
All right, we're going to take our next question.
There you have Brad Keselowski. Let's hear from second-place finisher Denny Hamlin.
Hey, Denny, you got us?
Yep.
All righty. Well, thank you for waiting. We're now joined by our second-place finisher, Denny Hamlin, driver of the number 11 FedEx Express Toyota. Denny, can you just walk us through those, you know, final laps there? Did you have anything for Brad at the end?
I don't think so. I mean, if I would have, I would have gone up there and passed him, but we're just barely a little slower than he was for most of the day. We could, you know, make some really good moves on restarts and whatnot, but overall, I just thought that we were a second place car and kind of how we ended up. So, you know, I'm encouraged by the run simply because this is the first, honestly, short flat track loop. Got some data now that we can build some setups for some other tracks like Richmond, Phoenix, the championship race at Phoenix. You know, I wrecked out of there in the first run in the spring. We haven't run Richmond yet. So, you know, this is probably one of the biggest question marks we were going to have as a race team with our setup and our simulation going into a race. So I know Chris was kind of worried about it. He's always optimistic, but he's a little worried that, you know, we hadn't had really truly a baseline to build a setup off of, and we're second-place car, so it's got to get a little better.
All right. Well, we are going to open up the floor for questions. As a reminder, click the participants tab and raise your hand if you have a question for Denny. Let's kick it off with Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you. I'm just curious to kind of follow up on what you were talking about, Denny. Without any practice the rest of the season, and to come with this tire back to Phoenix, how comfortable do you feel once you get there knowing that you guys did what you were able to do today and have time to work on it between now and November?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. That's one of the things that we said after the race, that, you know, this is good because now we've got something we can build off of. Now it's up to me to break this thing down and figure out, you know, where we need to be better. You know, I've really got to break it down and figure out where I was getting beat and just start to figure out how we can start to get baselines for other tracks. And so this is a good step for us. I'm happy that we ran good because, you know, the other short flat track we had was Martinsville and we ran terrible. So this is a good step for us.
And what made you or what prompted you to say this is awesome racing in those closing stages? Just the kind of mile-a-mile battle you were having with Keselowski?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like short track racing, like, you know, half mile short track racing. We were crossing each other over and running into each other and kind of knocking each other up the racetrack. We're doing fly jobs in the middle of the corner. It was fun racing those guys. They were very, very deserving today, and happy for them, because you know, you hate to have a fast car and you don't finish it off, but I thought obviously the two best cars finished 1-2 today, and they got the better end of us. But overall, the racing part of it, I was just having a good time there, racing there on the short run and even that long run in the end of the first stage with the intensity cars. So it was fun.
Appreciate your time. Safe travel.
Thanks.
There you have Denny Hamlin. Let's go to third place finisher, Martin Truex Jr. So the two Toyotas chasing the Penske Ford this week. Usually they're chasing the Stewart Haas Ford. This time it was the Penske Ford.
Hey, Martin, got us?
Yep.
All righty. Well, we're going to kick off today's post-race media availability with Martin Truex Jr., our third place finisher in the Sport Clips Toyota. Martin, can you just walk us through that run?
Yeah, I mean, overall, a solid day. Obviously, first stage there, we had quite a few cars, starting 11th. It was pretty tough, but was happy to get second that first stage. And then we had a bit of an issue off pit road with the tire getting away, and then had a cross the rear, which that was pretty difficult. But for Chris Chambers was decent. I think we were.
All right, and we are going to open up the floor. If you have a question, just a reminder, click the participants tab and raise your hand. We're going to kick it off with Bob Ponker. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Martin, is there anything that you take away from having a penalty and coming back and finishing third? Like, is that something that you feel like with a new crew chief this year, that those are things that you just need to do?
No, I mean, I think, no matter what's going on as a driver, you face those things, and mistakes happen, speeding, pit road speed, and, I've done that this year. So, when those things happen, you just have to buckle down and get what you can get. So, fortunately, we were able to come back from it. And, we probably lost out on a few stage points there in stage two because of it. But overall, it was, still a solid day. So I don't think it matters who's running, who's working on the car, who's on your crew, whatever. Anytime something happens, all you do is they got it all.
And, I mean, are you happy with third, or is it a third, but that you never really were in Keselowski and Hamlin at all during the day?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like, I felt like we weren't quite as good as those two guys. So, like I said, that first stage, we ran second to the 11, and, he looked pretty strong. I was having some handling issues there, and so, we never could quite get the car to do the things that I needed to do here to win, and we've had it doing those things here before, but it seems like we have a tough time finding out how to have it at the end of the race. So still a little bit more work to be done, but again, a solid effort. I felt like we were third best car, and maybe fourth best car. I think the four was pretty strong at times as well, and he kind of got messed around on track position. So we finished where we should have, I guess, and we just need to figure out how to get a little bit better here.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next question from Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you. Just wondering, Martin, Brad made point of saying after the race that he was really stoked about their run because he thinks that this could be, a determinant of how well that they can run at Phoenix given the fact that this is the same tire. What do you guys have to improve on before you take this package or whatever package you end up using for the season finale?
It's really tough to say just because, I felt like our issues were things that, we probably could have made better with some practice, I think. So, you just got to hit it. I think maybe we need to be a little bit, smarter about our simulation and what setups we're unloading with the racetrack. Maybe figure out something a little bit better with this tire this year. It seems like we've struggled a little bit more this year with tire issues, than some other teams. And, I think for all the drivers at JGR, when we kind of say we kind of lack some of the feel that we're looking for in these tires. So, that may be part of it. Maybe they figured some things out there. We're still kind of searching on that, I think.
And what are your thoughts on Cole Kern coming out of retirement?
I'm excited for him. I think he's going to have a fun time. I think the opportunity to go to Indianapolis for a few weeks and enjoy yourself and try to help the team with, these best friends there that work on that team. So, I think he's going to have a good time. And then, he's only got to do one race and then he's back in retirement. So, it's fun, I guess, for him right there, at this point in time to do some things that, kind of bucket list things, I think, and that's probably one of them. So I hope he has fun with it and hopefully they're ahead of you.
Appreciate your time, champ.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take our next question from Doug.
There you have Martin Truex Jr. So now we go this week to Michigan. We have one Truck Series race on Friday, the Henry Ford Health System 200 at 6 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. And then Saturday we have the Xfinity Series at Road America. So they're taken to the road at noon on NBC Sportsnet. And then Saturday at 4 on NBC Sportsnet, the first of a doubleheader Cup Series weekend, the Firekeepers Casino 400 at Michigan. Well, of course, it's in Michigan. I said that. And that'll be on NBC Sportsnet. And Sunday, Cup Race number 2 for the weekend, the Consumer Energy 400. And that'll be at 4:30. So, set your DVRs or whatever you need to do if you want to catch them all. Picture in picture if you want to watch NASCAR and NHRA at the same time. So many things you could do there. Usually I'll put the NHRA on the big screen and the Cup Series on the small screen or the split screen to have the sound on the NHRA because the races are over in 5 seconds or less. We'll say 7 seconds or less going from pro stock bike down to top fuel. But anyway, let's see. They had 2 races last year. Of course, they split them apart. The first one being in June. And it was Joey Logano who dominated that race. Kurt Busch was second, Truex third. Daniel Suarez, who is not in the 41 anymore. That would be Eric Almirola. And actually, Almirola was in the 10 car. He's not in the 41 anymore, or is he? I don't know. I had to look. One way to find out. Who was in the 41? Cole Custer. I knew he wasn't in the 10. Alrighty, back to there. And race number 2, which was held in on the 11th of August last year, which would have been this weekend. It was Harvick. The biggest lap leader at the time then was Brad Keselowski. And Harvick only led 22 laps, and Truex led 43, but wound up 4th. Kyle Larson in 42, now that's Kenseth, so I'm not counting on Kenseth to be up there. I could be wrong, but I'm looking at Ford again. But then there's Danny Hamlin, who came in 2nd, led twice for 6 laps. But this year has been funky. And the wins have been going, I guess, between Harvick, Keselowski, and Hamlin. But who's due to win this week out of those 3? Let me guess. Keselowski just won. And I think Hamlin won the week before. I think I picked Harvick. You know what? Been goofy. Let's see, Truex was 3rd, Truex was 4th. Truex was 3rd this week. He does have a win. New Hampshire is a lot different than the wide 2 mile at Michigan. Logano led 52 laps. Man, this is tough. I'm going with Denny Hamlin this week. How's that sound? So anyway, hope you enjoyed our show today. We will have Jen Inguli next week, unless the weather dictates otherwise. Looking forward to interviewing her and plugging her new podcast of hosted by Jeff Sandor, and there's three other panelists. Jeff, Jen, Chase Shoemate, and some guy named Vinny B, you might have heard of. Yes, that's right. We're having it on Saturday this week, and we pre-record that, handles all the editing, chops it down to an hour, and we go from there, have a trivia section. We talk about stuff that happened during the week. Have a special guest coming on. Writer, director, Lana Reed will be joining the panel. But depending on my schedule, and it doesn't bode well, so I might not be on this one. So, but I will post the episode when it comes up. Try to get them all on so you can tune in to them. You can listen to them on Spotify if they still live, or Anchor FM. So that's our host. Site for that one. Of course, Garage Talk Live here on blogtalkradio.com is my host site for this one, where I go live. No pre-recording here. And due to technical difficulties of a couple of weeks ago, and they pre-recorded it and then posted it up on podcast afterwards. But it's kind of weird. But that's just how it goes sometimes. Anyway, hope you all enjoyed the show. I'm Vinny, your host. Good day. Good racing. Busy weekend in motorsports this weekend. So, Cup, Trucks, Xfinity, NHRA, and lots of other stuff. Alrighty. See you all next week. Bye now.